Now we shall turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and continue in the studies we have in our book. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The last time we ended with verse 12, and we continue from tonight from verse 13 down. And it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And tonight, our theme for tonight is the Bible, inspired and profitable. And if we can remind ourselves, last time we met, we learned how Apostle Paul described his teaching, manner of life, purpose, and suffering. As he said in verse 10, he said that, "But thou hast known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." So we learned how these things, reflected in his life, his teachings, his manner of life, and his purpose for the ministry, and also his sufferings, which we also learned that every Christian also has a similar way of life as the apostle has. So he was encouraging Timothy to also continue to suffer. And we know that the pattern of Apostle Paul was a pattern for every servant of Christ, or a teacher, or a pastor. It's a pattern for all to follow. The purpose, his manner of life, and also the sufferings he bore. And also we learned how he exhorted Timothy and all Christians in verse 12. He said that, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution," that all Christians must expect sufferings, persecutions, trials in this world. We are not living in a perfect world, and Christians must expect that. And as we learned, it's sad that these days Christianity is almost like worldly prosperity. So people seem to forget that the Bible tells us that Christians will suffer. And also, the Lord Jesus Christ even said that if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And also, he said that the servant is not greater than his master. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the master of all true believers, because it is in him that we trust. He saved us. He died on the cross to save. He saved us to live to reflect how he lived. Though he suffered and died for sin, for our sins on the cross, we don't suffer for our sins to pay the punishment for our sins. But we suffer because we are like him. We are his brother. We are co-heirs with him. In the ages to come, when God, when he comes again to judge the world, and God bring in the new heaven and earth, all true believers will be co-heirs with him. We shall enjoy with him. So we enjoy his sufferings in this life. It's not suitable to our human flesh, but it's the work of God that it helps us to build our life for the world to come. Now, he further informs Timothy about the devastating end of also deceivers, as he said that, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Evil men, remember he said earlier that in verse 9, he spoke about, those who were being false teachers, and how he said that they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs also, referring to Jannes and Jambres, how at the end, how they deceived Pharaoh and the Egyptians. At the end, they couldn't continue with their deception. They were exposed. And also, Apostle Paul was making that reference that false teachers will also be exposed. But then, while he's telling Timothy about evil men, he said about evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, he also exhorts him to abide by the truth which he has learned from Scripture. What is the source of false teachings? It's from wrong opinions or wrong teachings. So if people are going astray by wrong opinions and wrong teachings, Timothy, whom he wants to abide faithful, should abide by the Bible, by the Scriptures, as It is the only scripture that's able to keep him on focus and being able to do as he ought to. So he tells him to abide by the truth which he has learned from the Bible, which we'll continue to look up further up to what constitutes that part where he exhorted him to continue in the things which he has learned. But verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, being deceiving and being deceived. That is, the evil men here is not just sinners per se, people who are vicious, which are mischievous, which bring persecution against those who want to live right. Or so in the last day we talk of those who want to live as Christians. Evil men here, the word used like malicious people, not just maybe people who are living alright as sinners, but people who have ill motive to persecute others. So he said that these people will increase, they will grow worse, and seducers shall also wax worse. Seducers are, in the original, it's like those who use magical acts to deceive people. So it's like in reference to genies and gemaries and their actions, and how in the Christian history we have also learned how many have been false people claiming to be some people, which at the end of the day they were lies. And in our time, as these charismatic movements and the Pentecostal movement, where you see people claim to be special people doing so-called healings and miracles, and yet they are seducers. But the word used is like those who use magical art to seems like they do miracles. So the miracles are fake. It's not the original, like James and James. So we say that these people will wax worse and worse, that they will go on. There's no time that their actions and progress will decrease. We'll see more of it as the age grows. So it is for us to, as believers, to also realize that falsehood will always remain with the churches of Christ, because evil men and seducers are always increasing. So they will always be. So while unbelievers which are outside of Christianity with these evil motives persecuting Christians, false teachers within the Christian churches also, who advance in their errors and their teachings, which will lead many astray from Christ. And as we see, today in our time, many have been led astray from Christ. Many, even the little truth they knew once before, have been swept away by some of these false teachers, some of these erroneous teachings that goes on around. As we learned the other time, there were many sound churches which have been swept away by the falsehood of the time. This prosperity gospel, these charismatic teachings, and the love of the things of the world, and all, and having the order of the day. So they will continue and say that deceiving and being deceived. So those who are championing this false, they themselves, they have been deceived. They have been led astray, and they are also leading others astray. And who have we learned the other time that the devil, that is what leading these false pastors and false prophets of our time to do things which are against the Bible, which the Bible doesn't teach. And though they themselves are doing evil, they are deceived. They think they are doing right. And in so doing, they also lead people along to on their falsehood. So they lead people to lies. So this must teach us that when sinners are left to themselves, they shall never get better. False teachers, when there is no grace in their heart, they will never get better. Sometimes we think that maybe people are just how they organize their church, that's wrong. But maybe if we tell them the truth, they will correct their ways. Anyway, no. The foundation is that they have been led astray, and there's no grace in their heart. They can never turn. Except just there's a conversion, but they will be worse. And when these people who are fake and hypocrite and claim to be religious are in churches, what happens? When these people embrace religion, they make the first verse of chapter 3 tells us that this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That they make true religion dangerous, difficult to practice. So that godliness, as if those who are godly, who are true believers, are rather scandalized. They are seen as weird people. They are seen as odd, because the generality of Christians are on the kind of path which those who are true are not following. And so they will be scandalized. So that's what is going on. And when a religion becomes like this, become dangerous, So the hypocrite caused a lot of harm to churches. But let us also know that, as I said before, that it's only the gracious influence of the Holy Spirit that's able to check anyone and restrain anyone to stop sin. So if these false Christians, false teachers in churches are not saved, they don't have grace in their heart, the Spirit of God is not controlling them, what do we expect of them? They will be worse and worse, and that there's nothing to turn them back. They can hear a lot of sermons, being good and good. Their hearts are not changed. They can never be good. The Bible says, make the fountain good, and the fruits, the other parts will also be good. So until they are made good, they can never be good. So they'll get worse and worse. So, but evil men and seducers shall go worse and worse. So it's like Apostle Paul is telling Timothy to expect it. So you shouldn't be bothered so much. Yes, it's a word we pray that God will help, that the work, there will be true pastors, there will be true teachers, and there will be true Christians. But we should also know that they will be worse. They will grow, they will increase, and their way of doing things. Many also will follow else, we are told, many will follow their pernicious ways. Because in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, we are told about the grace of God. We said that for the grace of God that brings salvation, that had appeared unto all men. But what does that grace of God do? In what? Teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. But what are false teachers teaching? What are these seducers leading people to? They are not leading people, telling people to deny themselves. They are not leading people to live a life that pleases God. No. They are telling people to live for the world, worldly lust, and the lust of the flesh. And people are with high-minded hopes, and they are called themselves Christians. So these people, they will be worse and worse. And whoever embraces such ideas, which is opposite to what the Bible teaches, that such a person will grow worse. He will never be better. So it also tells us that those who might have also know the truth and are willful and want to continue in their sins and their errors, God often leaves them in their sins and their errors as a way of punishment. Sometimes you also sometimes talk to somebody you know is in error or in sin, but they don't see anything wrong with that, and they continue in it. Sometimes it's a way of punishment. They can never turn away. As the Bible tells us, they wax worse and worse. Somebody said that error or sin leads to downhill. Like whoever enters into ways of error will never be better. He will descend worse, become worse and worse and worse and worse. So that is the attitude. They will become worse, worse and worse, and also they will increase. But in doing that, sometimes God has what? It's a punishment for them. But they have embraced to go in error, and God allows them to be in error, and that they go like that. As we are told in Romans 1:28, it says that, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So falsehood, seducers, these fake miracle workers, so-called healers and men of God, prophets who are prophesying lies and falsehood, their actions will increase because they give themselves to lies. They don't want to be wise according to what the Bible tells us. So as I said, we should never be surprised when churches are getting worse and worse because they have embraced error. And whoever embraces error, you go downhill. There's no, until, God saves, and there's a reformation. No church that enters into error, or any Christian that enters into error, can come back. You apostatize and you go on worse and worse. So let us also examine ourselves and look upon ourselves and our faith. If it's not genuine, one day we shall also apostatize. We shall also go astray from Christ. Because if we hold on to Christ just by opinion, just by our thinking, maybe we have some views we hold, not really. We have given our hearts and our whole life for Christ. One day we will be led astray from Him. We shall be worse. Because our faith will not have that strong stand on Him. And whoever is not grounded 100% fully on Christ, one day something will come and sweep you away. So as we are looking at others who have been led downhill and been led astray, as we talk of them as they have been led into error, let's also look into ourselves and consider our faith. and see how well it is. If it is strong, it is only on Christ and on Him alone that is not mixed up with personal opinions or other things, then we are well. In practice or in belief or in practice. So let us also examine ourselves in that way. So after Apostle Paul, admonished Timothy on this thing that this evil men and seducers will be worse. He moves on in verse 4. He says that, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He has informed him of these people who are going astray, getting worse. But here he has exhorted Timothy to hold fast the doctrines of the gospel which he has been taught. And you know that Apostle Paul did not tell Timothy, in the other time, you know, this time the apostolic gift was working, you know, they were receiving prophecies, revelations, but he did not tell Timothy to ground his faith on his even some personal revelations he will receive. He said, what? Continue the thing which thou hast learned, the truths of God which he has learned, not maybe something which will come and influence his mind. He was not to expect further revelations to add to what he has learned. He said that he should what? Continue the things that he has learned. And what are the things he has learned? We'll see what Apostle Paul will continue to elaborate on. So that the gospel truth that he has acquired, that knowledge from the apostles' hand, from the apostles' mouth, he should continue in it. That's what he is trying to tell us. Even in that time, revelations and prophecies were working. It was an apostolic era. But he said that if you continue the things he has learned, and later on you see that Apostle Paul was referring to those that he has learned from them, which was Apostle Paul himself. And what he has learned and has been what? Assured of. That's the doctrines of the gospel, which Timothy, the doctrines of the gospel, which you have gained understanding, which you have not just have them as an opinion, but you have been persuaded by something you believe and also practice. Hold on to that. Continue in that. Not that you have just learned them, but you know that they are sure and they are true word of God. And always about the doctrine that produces godliness, the truth of the gospel that produces godliness, the truth, the doctrine that when faith rests on, it leads to holy lives. That's what it means. The thing that has learned and I'm assured of. And he adds to the last part of the verse, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know, if he were to tell Timothy to express some revelations or prophecies, he wouldn't refer to this. He would have told, wait on the Holy Spirit's instructions. But he said, that, continue in the thing which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. He learned them from the apostles. He learned them from Apostle Paul himself. As Apostle Paul himself learned it from Christ by revelation, and the doctrines he taught were immediate revelations from Christ. What the apostles received were taught to them by Christ. So you see that it was the apostles only who had that gift to receive this thing so that they can write down scripture for us. And all in that time, those who were following them were to learn from the apostles and what Christ has given them. So you see that you learn knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Apostle Paul have taught him, has instructed him, and Timothy must continue in that. So it was as if Timothy has learned something from Christ himself. Because it was Christ himself who revealed them through his Spirit to these people. Let us also learn to continue in the doctrines of the apostles, since that is the pattern for the church in all ages. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, we are told that the church of God, the church of Christ, builds upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That is the things they taught, the things that the prophets of old taught, the things that the apostles also taught. Even in the time of the apostles, those who were prophets, who were able to receive revelation, those things, and Christ, what Christ has said, those things that we rest our hope on. We don't rest our hopes in anything except what Christ, his apostles, and the prophets have already given us in his word. Because such are the doctrines that God has approved and that we are assured of its usefulness. It is only if you tell me anything outside the scripture, how am I sure that it's from God? I can't prove it. If you say even whoever told you, I can't prove it. But if it's from scripture, we can all go and improve it. So that is the essence of what Apostle Paul is trying to tell Timothy, which we also have to learn. And again, the doctrine that what Timothy has learned is something which is also common. Like a common faith, which is also true of all believers. The same thing that the believers in the down the centuries has also learned, which is no different from whatever Christ has ever taught. Because there's a temptation that many have assurance of some new doctrines which have never been heard of in the church history. Or if you study church, many from time to time people come out with new doctrines, and then such doctrines they have been ignorant of errors it leads to, and yet they will say, "Oh no, I mean this is true." This they hold on to. At the end of the day, it takes people to nowhere. And if you read church history, it comes and we hear it. The people embrace new doctrines, things that the apostles never taught, things that the subsequent churches never taught. But then people think that, "Oh no, there's some new doctrine that they have also chanced upon." People are even willing to even continue, hold on to such new doctrines within their life. They want to die for it. They think it's truth. But at the end of the day, you realize that it was their own opinions and it deceived them. The thing they themselves thought it was right. And this kind of thing, when you read church history, that's how many Christian cults began. For instance, the JWs, the Mormons, the SDAs, and all other churches, another cult, we call them cults. The early days began by bringing up a new idea which was so different from all that was ever known. And then people begin to embrace, like something that was so wise. But let us know that all these organizations or sects, they always have extra biblical books which their founders claim to be inspired. If you study each one of them, their founders, lead them to embrace some books which which is not scripture, which is not what we have known as the Bible, and then they begin to teach other things which are different from whatever have been held by churches before. So they believe in extra biblical books, and always the doctrines in these false doctrines in these books always contradict the doctrines in the Bible. That's why, if you study them, that's what happens. Whatever this sect bring out as a new, as if something which have, sometimes they come out with the idea that, this was, it was a doctrine, it was practice which was there, but the churches have lost them, so we are coming to enforce it. Anyone who come with that idea, always there's error in that person. Whoever will think that, the churches once were holding it, and then they have left it, and yet they cannot even, based on scripture, unless they back it with some books or some opinions or resources outside of scripture, those people always lead into error. And they often promote salvation by works and wrong views about God. All throughout. All of them. Because the books they have wrong views about God. So they'll have strange ideas about God, and their views of salvation are always works. It's no different from other religions which are not in the Christian circles. So that is how it happens. If people are not holding on to scripture and only resting in it and embracing other ideas, at the end of the day, it leads to error. And also, even when we think of Roman Catholic Church and historically, all their false teachings have been based on extra biblical books and personal opinions of their popes. If they were to stick to the scripture, yes, sometimes there will be errors, but then the core truth of the scripture will be upheld. Every teaching, like they are teaching about Mary, they are teaching about works salvation, the Eucharist, whatever. They can't base it on the Bible unless maybe they presuppose it. But mostly they will base it on extra biblical books and maybe the opinions of their popes. And then they ground their doctrine. And what does it lead to? So Apostle Paul is telling Timothy that what? He should continue the thing he has learned. That's what we continue. The things in scripture, the thing God revealed to the apostles, they continue in it. And the same thing is happening to our charismatic teachers of our day. Where are they grounding their teachings? It's not in scripture. Either they received some revelation somewhere, or they read some strange. Nowadays, some of them are even teaching things from this Eastern, like Hindu, Buddhism, and those ideas, they are bringing it from there. But it's the same thing they are doing. They are not grounding their doctrine, their teaching on scripture. They don't prove it from there. They don't ground it and stay there. So, sometimes they are so funny. And how they present that, they say, while I was reading the Bible, and God revealed it to me. It's interesting. God, we are just, what happened? God, through His Holy Spirit, illuminate our minds to ground the truth of scripture. It doesn't reveal anything to us. But you know, while I was reading this scripture this morning before I came to church, God revealed this to me. How? God revealed what? And whatever He says, it doesn't add up. It's nothing. And it's just some personal dream, imaginations, opinion. And then the sad thing is that people are happy with those things than what the Bible is, talks about. I remember I heard some of them saying that, oh, the Bible is written, it's the letter. As we in 2 Corinthians, we are told that there's the power in the Spirit and the letter. The Bible is the letter, but the current revelations are the one which is powerful. The Bible is just the letter, so you have to, the revelation gives more force to the Bible. It's a lie. So that is what Apostle Paul is trying to say, that Timothy should take to the things he has learned. He should continue in them. He should not even, himself at the time of the apostolic era, should not expect revelations, his something to dwell his religion on. So the early church adhered to the apostolic teachings, which we have them now in our Bible. So if somebody says the early church, whatever they believe is what we have in our Bible. In Acts 2:42, we are told that, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers, what the apostles taught. In Galatians 1:11 to 12, look at what the apostle Paul says. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Which of these so-called prophets today can truly say that Jesus Christ, and they will just say, well, it's something they cannot even defend themselves. That is what Apostle Paul is saying, that he received them from Jesus Christ. He received them from Jesus Christ. So those who sometimes criticize Apostle Paul's some of the doctrines, they are rather criticizing Jesus Christ. For instance, Apostle Paul teaching on that women cannot be pastors. And some will say that, oh, Apostle Paul was, when he was right, it was his own opinion. He said he received them from Christ. So if I'm a Christian, I follow such false ideas. They and Christ, who is I remember what Peter and John told when they had performed that miracle, to the man who was sitting by the roadside, asked them money, and they told him that, silver and gold I have none. Get up your bed, rise up, take up your bed and go. And later, they were arrested that, why are they teaching the name of Christ? And they said that they shouldn't teach. They beat them and said they shouldn't teach again. And they asked the Pharisee or the leaders, the Jews, said that, which one do we listen to, God or man? He said, we have to listen to God. So if people are saying that Apostle Paul did this and that, and he hated women and blah, 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 they and God, who has to be taken? Apostle Paul said that he received that revelation from Christ. So if we want to be obedient Christians, we obey what the Bible teaches. Not man, what man says today that Apostle Paul hated this. Nowadays, I think there's a group who says that they've been interpreting what Apostle Paul wrote and trying to teach many things. But that is what he says. He received them from Christ. Whatever instructions he gave, elsewhere we say that it's an example, it's a pattern for the church which we have to also follow. So in verse 15, he went on to talk to Timothy. He said that, and thou from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So he has to continue to exhort Timothy to adhere to the Bible. He reminds Timothy of his early childhood experience, instructions he had from the Bible. You see, Apostle Paul, when he's trying to enforce something, he goes on step by step. He has told him that he has learned it, he should continue, and he goes back and says, from childhood, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So still enforcing that the scripture alone that Timothy must hold on to. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Remember in 2 Timothy 1:5, Apostle spoke about Timothy's grandmother and mother who were faithful, who were godly, and how they also taught Timothy faithful. So that's the same reference. From my child, he was taught what scriptures were. And no doubt, this faithful man trained Timothy to learn the truth of the Bible while he was growing up. It wasn't the truth of scriptures. Nothing about so-called opinions and revelations of others. Instead, certain Timothy learned from scripture the truth of God, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That is, the knowledge of the Bible alone that is capable to lead you into obtaining salvation, which is by faith in Christ Jesus. So you see, when people teach other things outside of scripture, people cannot be saved. The Holy Spirit only enforces the truth of scripture. So that is what it is. Timothy learned this. You know, Timothy learned it before he wasn't saved. But you know, we learned that Paul, when he went to the city Timothy was, I've forgotten the name, but that's where Timothy also heard it. He heard the truth, because he heard the gospel, he was saved. And when Paul went there, they confirmed that he was a disciple now. But he got the knowledge from infancy, the scripture. And it is the scripture that is able to lead him to faith in Christ. When you have the knowledge of God through the scripture, that is where faith can come. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So when anybody undermines scripture, it's a serious matter. And yet today, people undermine scripture and people don't care. People embrace any false opinion and they throw the Bible away. Okay, so let's consider something about Timothy's early instructions of scripture. So we learn the importance of instructing children early in the Bible truth. That's what we can also learn from this. Timothy was instructed early in scripture. And we know that although it is not a guarantee that when a child is taught the Bible from infancy, when he grows up, he will be saved. It's not a guarantee. For many can be taught here, when they grow up, they desert whatever instruction they have. But we know that faith comes by hearing the word of God. So definitely, as we teach our children the word of God, we hope that God will one day bring them to salvation by praying that God will grant them faith to believe. So it is a great thing that we bring children up in the knowledge of God. Though they might they disown it when they grow up, but then the influence that it will have upon their hearts. If the Lord wills, we hope that God will bring them to salvation. So this is a great duty for believers, that we bring our children up in the fear of the Lord, the knowledge of God, for them to know the Bible truth. Let it be in their mind. Yes, they are not saved, let it be in their mind. Let us enforce it. For God, Timothy here is our example. And what the Bible truth was able to do for him. Let us also wish such for our children, hoping that as we instruct them, they will grow up one day, becoming and following the Lord, and also becoming like us, as we have also trusted in the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. So we see that it is not enough for parents to just provide earthly things for their children. And that's what most people think of first. It is not enough. If you give them all the things of the world, they lose their soul. What is the advantage? And yet today, many parents, what they think of is the school their children will attend is good, and the kind of work they will do, the kind of life they will live. They don't care about their soul. Even Christians don't care about they don't care that if their children will be saved or not. Well, they leave it up. But no, as Christians, if we are believers and Christians as it is, the salvation of our children is our great priority. We may not be able to provide everything in the world for them, but it should be our greatest concern and our great desire that our children will also come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That should be our greatest concern. As we find in the case of Timothy, the parents instructed him and the Lord helped so that he was able to come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the salvation of eternal life should be our priority for our children. Which, if we bring up children, it is our responsibility to make sure that the word of God is taught to them. They are trained up in it. Look at how the Muslims do. Their children are always at the makaranda, putting this in their, even though they don't understand, they are putting it in their mind. But how negligent, quote unquote, the general Christian people are. We don't care if our children are embracing the truth we also hold on to or not. But let us learn from this. And this also tells us, a church, the necessity of Sunday school work. You know, in our world today, many parents are just quote-unquote Christian. They don't care about their children. But as a church, we must care for them, because if their parents don't give them, and we are able to help these children with this knowledge of the Bible, it is to their good. So that one day, as we pray for them, that they may have eternal life, they may have it. So that even in this place that we have, one day many of these children will grow up not becoming rebellious against God, but being people that God can live for God, and that their life will count for Him. And that will be the joy of a church as we are here. Because it also helps us prepare the heart for the coming generation for Christ. If we sow the seed of the word of God in them, in the ages to come, the next generation of our world will be better. Because they will have known the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them will have known the truth of God. But you know, as our society today, Bible is nothing. Bible knowledge is nothing at all. But let us try as a church and do our best. In Psalm 145 verse 4, we are told that one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty act. That's what we are doing. Through Sunday school, we declare the act of God's redemption to the children. Most of the children, they might not have heard it as they hear it here. But as we declare these works of God, the works of what? The grace of God that saves, brings salvation, these children hear it. Then, we are doing what the Bible demands of us. One generation shall praise their works to another. When we are proclaiming Christ to these children, we are what? Praising the works of God, the redemption work of Christ to these children. And in ages to come, if many of them are brought to Christ, if we maybe we're able to speak maybe to 100 people, maybe they can speak to 1,000 people. And what does it do? Religion continues. And what? Christ and this church continues. While generation come and go, the word of God will stay. And we'll have people living their life for Christ. Okay, so we move on to verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, you know, as I said, Apostle Paul, when he's trying to enforce something, he starts from somewhere. He goes it up. Now, he has mentioned all scripture. He has told Timothy what? The scriptures he learned from infancy. And as it all scripture, trying to tell Timothy the value of scripture, the value of the written word, against speculative knowledge and things that do not profit. So all scripture, that is both New and Old Testament. Some people tell you that Apostle Paul saying all scripture was making reference to the Old Testament, which is true. But now we have all scripture. So it refers to both Old and New here. And because at the time of Apostle Paul writing, the New Testament was not complete. It was still in writing. I mean, not all the books were written then, were completed. Yet we know that God's revelation is made up of the Old and the New for us as Christians. And somebody will even also tell, oh, Scripture here refers to only the Old Testament, so the New Testament is not part of Scripture. If you want to learn, then learn from the Old. But the fact is that the churches in apostolic times knew which letters of the apostles were inspired and profitable for faith and practice, and they were using them as their Scripture, for they knew God had given it. So it's not that later churches which books that the apostles wrote that ought to be used as what? As inspired book for the New Testament. The churches in the apostolic time were using the writings of the apostles, and the churches after were using it. So it's something that was introduced later. Some people say that, oh, how they compile the Bible, some people sat down and just do their selection. No, the churches, as like we here, who were to be in that, will be using what the apostles wrote. So when they were putting it, they just put what they had, and they knew others were writing erroneous scriptures, so they took them out. And this is what we have for our New Testament. So it isn't something that New Testament is less heavier than the Old Testament. Ask somebody in the Old Testament, you hear, and God said, and God commanded. No, the apostles also received the same revelations from Christ. So all scripture is what? Given by inspiration of, meaning that the Old and New Testament are given by divine revelation. There isn't any part of scripture which is less inspired than other. All scripture. Inspiration means divinely breathed. So they are the words of God. Divinely breathed. God breathed. God breathed. I mean, God spoke and they write. As he told Moses, And God spoke to Moses. If you go to the Old Testament, I mean the Leviticus, and God spoke to Moses. And Moses did whatever. So the apostles, God revealed it to them. He told them what to write. So he directed the writers on what to write and how to write as a rule of faith and practice for all Christians in the succeeding years. So the author of the Bible is God himself, who revealed it to the various writers by his own spirit. In 2 Peter 1, 20-21, you read, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Interestingly, people today who try to say that they have revelation, sometimes later you will see the scandals that even come, even if you know them, their lifestyle, and you see that they are receiving revelation from God. It's interesting. It's interesting. Some of the so-called pastors who say that they are receiving revelation from God. But the Bible says the holy men of God's faith, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, people that were living their life for God, people who were sincere and actually living a faithful life, not liars and deceivers who are taking people's money and living like superstars in the world as if they are receiving revelation. No, holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And the word moved here, meaning it's like, you see, when there's a leaf or something tiny on the river, see, there's a river that carries it. So it's like God, whatever they have to have, God gave it to them in simple terms. God, the Holy Spirit moved them to give them scripture. And what they wrote, what is it? And the Bible says, it is profitable for doctrine. The scripture which God is given by the inspiration of God, it is profitable for doctrine, that it is useful for teaching or learning about the things of God. Whatever we want to learn about God himself and things he wants us to do or have, the way of salvation, after salvation, how to live, whatever, it is profitable for. The Bible is able to do that. So it teaches us what we have to know about God and knows our duty and the way of salvation. And it also guides us in our way to another world. It leads us to the world to come. Those who are biased by its truth, they have prepared themselves for the world to come. Those who divert from scriptural truth, they have no hope for the world to come, because the Bible is given purposely for that. Any other thing was not given for that. So if you rest your hopes on certain things, you are not traveling to anywhere. You are just living your life in this world. And for reproof. That is for convicting sinners to repentance. That's one of the work of the Bible. It convicts sinners, those who are living in sin, when they hear the word of God, when they hear the gospel, it convicts them to repent. Also for exposing false teachers and their errors. That's another, duty for the Bible. It exposes those who are in error. By the Bible, the errors are exposed. Because without the Bible, how can you expose the errors? And through the Bible, we're able to expose the errors. And also to confound all who deny the truth the Bible teaches, so that none is left without excuse who remain unbelieving whatever the Bible says. Because the Bible is written, you can all open it and check what the Bible says. So what the Hebrew tells, Hebrew 4:12 tells us that the word of God, that is the scripture, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of heart. So if somebody is preaching or teaching, and it's not teaching from the Bible, how can the word be powerful? How can the word discern to the inner recesses of the soul, where sin is hidden, where rebellion is hidden, where can the Holy Spirit break through, that people can be saved? It cannot be done. The Holy Spirit only works with the word of God, and the word of God is scripture. So all those who are teaching other things which are not scriptural, there can be no salvation for those who hear them. So also, the Bible says for correction, that is for the word is, that is for setting right, to setting that maybe something which was right, which has turned aside, for putting it right, which is for the restoration of those who have erred from the truth. When people are going astray from truth, it's the Bible that is able to correct them. When they hear the instructions, it's able to draw them back. All those who have also who are maybe Christians, but they have backslidden into sin, it's the truth of scripture that is able to correct them and bring them back. So you see, the Bible does it for correction. So the Bible has every cure for both moral and spiritual problems, for correction. Correcting moral and spiritual problems, for those in error, either willfully or ignorantly, for those in trials of afflictions, distresses, persecutions, for those beset with sins, doubt, and those also who are downcast. The Bible is able to meet their needs, either to encourage them, either to let them reassert their faith and put themselves again in Christ. Or whatever they need, they have. The Bible is able to, if we are only able to learn and draw the truth from it for each of the cases we might have. So we see that the Bible has everything for us. Everything God wants us to have and know is in the Bible. We don't need any prophet to tell us of our future. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. The just don't listen to other people to tell them tomorrow what will happen to me. No. Those who are listening to others to tell them about their future, they are not just. But the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And if you are not just, you are not righteous. You are not born again. Because how can you live and trust in the Lord? It's by faith. Without faith, you cannot please Him. And if I'm listening to others to tell me how I should live my life, which is non-scriptural, what am I living? I'm living for somebody's opinion. In Romans 15:4, we are told, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. What our problems are, is it emotional, spiritual, whatever, the Bible has it. We have to draw from it. And then it will meet our peculiar need. Because whatever is written for our learning. People are not learning the Bible. That's why many people don't have their trust in the Bible. Many Christians nowadays don't read the Bible. They read it casually. They don't really read to see that it will have any influence in their lives. They just read it and keep their knowledge in their head. But if we should learn it, as the Bible says, through patience and comfort of the scripture, might have hope. We may only have hope when we have learned the scriptures and try to draw, like eating, when you eat. I mean if you give birth to a child, don't give the child nutritious food. You become kwashiorkor. So many Christians somehow become kwashiorkor because they cannot draw comfort from scripture. In every situation a Christian gets into, scripture has a need for. Either a trust in the Lord, or resting the Lord, or waiting on Him, or having my joy in Him. But many Christians today will have their joy in other things. And then, when they are hurt, then they sometimes doubt God and his promises. No, if all my joy and hope and trust in the Lord, I will never be hurt. Trials or contrials will come, I will be strong in the Lord. I will always rejoice in Him. Troubles will come, yes, sometimes I will feel like I cannot go on, I am about to be to give up. But the Bible says, light is soon for the righteous. Light will show up to the one who has faith and trust in the Lord and His word. But if I give myself to other things, I will never have that help that comes from the word of God. So the Bible is given to us, and the Bible tells us in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and the last part, what? For instruction in righteousness, how we can walk in righteousness. That's for training and discipline, which is in righteousness, so that we can walk with God. God is righteous God. How can we walk with Him? It's a scripture that is able to help us. It trains us up in our Christian life. When we begin as Christians, we learn many things as we apply them in our life by the help of God, and we are walking with Him. If we don't learn it, how can we walk with Him? So the Bible, the scriptures, is the only thing the Christian have which can really help him to be able to walk with God. And verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Do I want to serve God? It's a scripture that can prepare me so that I can be entire to be able to work for the Lord. Whichever service Christ demands of me, it's a scripture that can tell me the details of my actions or whatever I have to do. So that the scripture was given for the purpose of equipping Christians for every service that pleases God. It is suitable for the work of the preacher or the teacher, so also for the learner, for the learning and the hearer of the word of God. Whoever we teach is profitable, is a tool to be used. And whoever wants to walk in righteousness is a tool to be used. It's a manual for the Christian, for whatever the Christian wants to do. It is by this profitability that we have the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture. That Scripture is sufficient for every need. This is where we learn this doctrine, that the sufficiency of Scripture. Scripture is sufficient for whatever we have to do, whatever, either for faith and for practice. For every emotional, spiritual, and practical problems of the Christian, there is a balm for it in the Word of God. And nowadays, so-called Christians who have a problem, they will run to a prophet or some prayer camp and somewhere. The Bible is there. That's where we have to search it. Where can we have help so that our situation can... And the sad thing that most of these churches, the pastors don't even know the Bible. So how can they even help people out of Scripture? They can't. Because they themselves are embracing things which are not scriptural. But for us, if we are true, faithful believers in Christ, our emotional, spiritual, practical problems, there is a balm of faith in the Word of God. You remember, one of the prophets was telling the people of Israel, why have they left the balm of Gilead to go and find a balm elsewhere? It was like telling them they have left God and His instructions, and they have gone to other places like Egypt and other places to find help. But God's word was there. They should return. So we too, we should esteem much, we should have so much hope in the Scripture, so that we may learn it, and the truth of it will mold our lives, so that nothing can shake us, nothing will lead us to deviate from Christ and our obedience to Him. We shall walk in righteousness, and then a Christian will only maybe find a remedy for his illness. That's physical illness, where you have to take medications, go to the hospital. But for things for our comfort, things for our encouragement and counsel for life. Nowadays, you see this financial counsels, and people are giving many ridiculous things. True counsels in Scripture. We don't need any financial community as a Christian. All that we need is in Scripture. All encouragement we need is in Scripture. The comfort we need is in Scripture. If we cannot find this in Scripture, then we are doomed. Then how can we walk with God? How can He be our joy? How can He be our comfort? God, we are told in Scripture, God is the Father of all comfort. And yet, His children are comfortless in this world. No! God gives us comfort through His word. And it is our duty to find it for each and every trouble we may face. Because all Scripture is given for us for that purpose. God gave it. It's inspired. It's profitable for every need of the believer. May the Lord help us as we reflect on these things and see how the Bible is good and is suitable for every need that we have, either by faith or practice as a church and as individuals. Shall we take